We continue now with Masechet Beis Adavav Amid Beis, 10 lines from the top of the page, Tanik of Asei Derev. The Gemara is now continuing, really concluding a discussion that began earlier on Vav Amid Aleph, where we'd seen that there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel regarding an afroach, a chick, which hatches from an egg on Yomtiv. We had seen that afroach should only be Yomtiv, Rav Omer Asur. Rav taught that it is prohibited to eat such a chick on Yomtiv. Ushmuel, v'itam Rabbi Yochanan, Shmuel, and those that say there was Rabbi Yochanan, teaches that it is mutter. So the Gemara now, 10 lines from the top of Vav Amid Beis, is going to present us with two brisos, each of which supports the position of either Rav or Shmuel. Tanya Kavasei the Rav, Tanya Kavasei the Shmuel. We can find a brisa which supports the position of Rav, and Tanya Kavasei the Shmuel, another brisa which supports the position of Shmuel. V'item Rabbi Yochanan, or perhaps the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. Tanya Kavasei the Rav. So first the Gemara presents the brisa which supports the position of Rav. Egel Shinola B'yamtiv Mutter. We had previously seen this case cited by the Gemara, and here's the original source, the Braisa. An Egel, a calf, that is born on Yamtiv, is Mutter. Over here the Braisa says, without any other opinion cited over here, previously we'd seen the Gemara said that this is the Divrei HaKol, this is without descent. Everyone agrees that an Egel, a calf, which is born on Yamtiv, may be Shechted that day. On the other hand, an Afrelach Shinola B'yamtiv Aser. But this Braisa says, like Rav, that a chick which hatches from the egg on Yomtiv is Aser. Continues the Braisa, Uma Hefresh Ben Zelazeh. What is the difference between the two? After all, we would have expected that the din would be the same by both. Something which is born on Yomtiv is either permissible for consumption that day or not. What would be the reason why we would differentiate between the two? So says the Gemara, really the Braisa, Zeh Muchon Agavimo B'Shchita, V'Zeh Einu Muchon Agavimo. In one case, the case of the Egel, Muchon Agavimo B'Shchita. And this is really just to summarize what we had stated previously. Since the mother, the Parah, which gave birth to this Egel, this calf on Yomtiv, could have been Shechted, and had she been Shechted, so we would be able to go ahead and eat the calf that was inside of her without its own special Shechita. So therefore, it's Muchon Agavimo B'Shchita, which means it was in a state of preparedness. It was not muktzeh when Yomtiv began. Because had we shechted the mother, we would be able to eat the calf without any further steps necessary. That the shechita of the mother would have satisfied any obligation as far as shechita for the egel is concerned. And so therefore, it is muchon avagim b'shechita. And just as on Yomtiv, you'd be able to eat this egel without any shechita, so therefore we say as well, that it was muchan and it is not going to be muktzeh. On the other hand, the afrelach, the chick that hatches from the egg on Yomtiv, it is not muchan agavimo. Because even if we would go ahead and shecht the mother, the chicken, the hen, and we find beitzim inside, that shechita on the mother is not going to satisfy our obligation of shechita as far as the chick is concerned. The chick is still going to have to develop and hatch on its own before it would be permissible to eat it. And so therefore, when Yomtiv began, since the eggs were still, the chick was still inside the egg, so therefore it is muktzeh. It is not muchan agavimo. It is not prepared beforehand on the account of the mother. And that explains, the braisa is the difference between an egel and an afroach. And this braisa, of course, supports the position of Rav, who says that an afroach, shenolo b'yomtiv, is aser. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Kavasei de Shmuel v'Yitemer Rabbi Yochanan. We now cite another Braisa which supports the position of Shmuel, or according to some Rabbi Yochanan. The Braisa begins, Egel Shenolad B'Yomtiv Mutter. Once again, we see L'Divrei HaKol without any dissenting view, a calf that is born on Yomtiv is permissible for consumption on that day. V'Efroach Shenolad B'Yomtiv Mutter. Unlike the previous Braisa, which supported the position of Rav, which teaches that an Efroach Shenolad B'Yomtiv is Aser, this Braisa, like Shmuel teaches, says that an afrach, a chick, which hatches on Yomtiv, is mutter. My time, and what is the reason? After all, there would seem to be a discrepancy between these two. Ze muchon agavimo, the newborn calf, so that was muchon agavimo. As we explained, it was prepared on account of the mother. Since the mother, once again, could have undergone a process of shechita, which would have permitted us to go ahead and to eat the egel on that day. So therefore, we see that it was never muktzeh. When Yomtiv began, it was already minamuchan, it was already in a state of halachic preparedness. And over here, Shmuel disagrees with Rav and says, even the chick by hatching is matir atzmo b'shchita. It becomes permitted on its own through for the process of shchita. Meaning what? And this is also something that we'd seen earlier. Rashi on the previous summit explains that until the chick hatches from the egg, it is not permitted for consumption in that state. It has to first hatch, and only then is going to be mutter to go ahead and shech the bird. So there is a transformation that takes place. As the chick hatches from the egg, so it now is matir atzma b'shchita. It now undergoes a process in which it is now permissible to go ahead and shech this chick, whereas beforehand it was considered to be a sheretz, and it was in a state in which I could not eat it in that particular state. And so therefore the chiddush of the Braisa is, and this is the position of Shmuel, that since it goes ahead and undergoes this transformation, that on Yomtiv naturally, as it hatches, it now is matir atzma b'shchita, so that transformation is enough to remove the issur muktzeh as well. As Rashi said previously, migud iskan lazeh, iskan lazeh. Since there's this, again, natural halachic tikkun that takes place, this transformation that takes place, allowing us to shech the chick, so we also say that there's a transformation that takes place which is enough to remove the status of muksa. So whereas an egel was never muksa when Yom Tov began, the efrach was muksa when Yom Tov began, but the big chiddush over here is that that status of muksa becomes removed when the chick hatches from the egg. The Gemara now continues with a related braisa. Tanu Rabbanan, Efroach shenolid b'Yom Tov Asur. A chick that hatches on Yom Tov is prohibited. That's like the sheet of Rav, which was cited earlier, unlike Shmuel. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, the braisa now quotes another sheet of the position of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says, Af b'chol asur. Forget Yom Tov. Even during the weekday, a regular day of chol, a chick which hatches on that day, it is prohibited. L'fishal niftachu enav, because it has not yet opened its eyes. According to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, until the chick reaches a stage in its development in which it opens its eyes, it is still too premature to go ahead and shecht it. And so therefore, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, forget the shail of muksa, nothing to do with Yom Tov. Even on a regular day of chol, you cannot go ahead and shecht a chick which hatches on that day. Continues the Gemara with yet another brisa like this. Kaman Azla, in accordance with whom opinion, Hadatanya, is this we find in a brisa where it says, L'chol hasheretz hashoretz ala aretz. The Torah tells us that all things that crawl on the ground, you may not eat. So the word l'chol is a riboy. That comes to include something else. What is that coming to include? Says the brisa, L'rabo sefrochim shalo niftachu einehem. This comes to include chicks that have not yet opened their eyes. They are still considered to have that status of a sheretz, and so therefore they are not nitan l'shchita. Kiman ki Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. This is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So we see now another position. We have Rav and Shmuel that argue about whether or not you can eat a chick which hatches from an egg on Yom Tov, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov who says, forget Yom Tov, even on a regular day of Chol, you may not go ahead and shech the chick that day, because l'fish lo niftachu einav, and it is still too premature to go ahead and shech the chick in that state. The Gemara now continues with a related discussion. Om Rav Huna Marav, Beitza im Yitziyasa Nigbara. Rav Huna teaches the name of Rav that an egg, upon its exit from the mother, so that's the point where Nigmara becomes completely formed. It says, Rashi Kishiyatza, as it exits the mother, nigmara briyasa. At that point, its formation, its creation, if you will, sort of concludes. Avamak mihachi lo chashiva beitza gemura. But until that point, it is not yet considered to be a fully formed egg. Well, the kami mefarish v'azal lemay hilchasa. And the Gemara is going to want to explain lemay hilchasa. What is the practical implication of this? Because at this point, it's not really saying anything that has any practical bearing. Which is exactly what the Gemara asks right now. What does that mean? And it's just to go ahead and tell me some interesting fact about the formation of an egg, if it has no halachic implications, so why is it the Rav Huna Rabba teaching? So it must be that there's some nafkimina, there's some practical implication of this idea that a beitza imitziyasa nigmara, that the beitza only becomes fully formed at the time that it exits the mother. So it says the Gemara, Ilema, maybe you'll suggest the following. Maybe Rav is teaching that upon its exit from the mother chicken, so the egg becomes fully formed and it is now permissible to go ahead and to eat this egg together with milk. Meaning what? That until that point it is considered to be part of the chicken. A chicken has the status of meat, if you will, and is something that cannot be eaten together with chalav. But we know that it's certainly permissible to have eggs with chalav, eggs with milk. So at which point in time does the egg become transformed from a status of being basar, or being something which may not be consumed together with chalav, to something which may now be eaten together with chalav? So maybe you'll tell me that Rav is teaching that imitziyasa nigmaro muteres lachav chalav, that at this point it becomes fully formed as an egg, and now you can have it with milk. The problem with this, says the Gemara, haba ma'ima asur l'achlev b'chalav. Do you mean to suggest that as long as it is still inside the mother, you cannot have it with milk? But that's not true. V'atanya, because we learn in a b'raisa, hashochid esatanagolas umatzah b'beitzim gemuros. If a person shechs a hen, and you find fully formed eggs inside of the mother, mutaras l'achlev b'chalav. Already at that point, they could be eaten with milk, even though they had not undergone the natural process of exiting the mother by being laid. Rather, they were just taken from the mother after Shechita. Now, if it were true that Rav was teaching that Beitza imitziyasa nigmara, that it only becomes fully formed, namely, it is only permissible to eat a b'chalav imitziyasa when it exits the mother in the natural way, so then that would mean that if we would take out eggs while they were still b'mayiman, they would be also b'chalav. But we know that that's not true, because the Braisa teaches that even if you shech the chicken and you find eggs inside, even at that point, it is still permissible to go ahead and have them with. So the Gemara continues and makes another suggestion. Maybe you'll tell me that this is what Rav is teaching. Maybe Rav is teaching that when the egg exits the hen, at that point it becomes fully formed, and so therefore, it is now permissible to go ahead and to eat this egg on Yom Tov. The problem is that this would imply that as long as it is still inside of the innards of the mother, so then it is at this point going to be prohibited to eat it on Yom Tov. Is that true? Vatanya, but we learn in yet another braisa, Hashochet is tanagolos matzav beitzim gemuros. If a person shechs a hen and you find once again fully formed eggs, mutaras lachem b'yom tov. They are permitted to eat it on Yom Tov. And so therefore Rav could not have meant by his statement that beitzim are not going to be considered gemuros, they're not going to be fully formed for the purpose of allowing you to eat them on Yom Tov until they exit the mother naturally. That's not true, because here the braisa says that if you shech the hen and you find beitzim gemuros inside, even at that point you can go ahead and you eat it on Yom Tov. They do not require having been laid in the natural process. So now the Gemara says, v'chitema kamash melan v'braisa maidulo ashminim v'masnisin. Maybe, says the Gemara, that this braisa that we just cited, that a shochet tanagolos matzav beitzim gemuros, that if you shecht a hen on Yom Tov and you find beitzim gemuros, you could eat the eggs on that day, maybe that halacha is not does not conform with that which we learn in the Mishnah. So it's true that this is a kula that's found in the braisa, but Rav does not hold of that shita. Maybe that's what you'll tell me, says the Gemara, hanami tanina, that's not so, because the truth of the matter is, it's an explicit Mishnah. Which Mishnah? Our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah say on Beis Amad Aleph? Beis Hashanol to be Yom Tov, an egg which is laid on Yom Tov. Beis Shammai Yomrim Teyochel, Beis Shammai Lo Teyochel. The Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, can you eat an egg which is laid on Yom Tov? Van Kam Lo Pligi Beis Shammai Beis Hillel El Benolda. The whole Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is regarding an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. Avah B'mei Iman, but in a situation where you would shech the mother on Yom Tov and you'd find Beitzim Gemuros inside, Divrei HaKol Shayin, everybody would agree that it's permissible. Now this Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only talking about a Beitzim Shenolda. But Beitzim Gemuros that were found B'mei Iman would be Mutaros. So it's not, as the Gemara is suggesting now, it's not that perhaps this idea that you can have Beitzim Gemuros that you find in Yom Tov is a kula that's found in the Braisa but does not conform with our Mishnah. That's not true, because even our Mishnah tells us that even those Machmirim, even Beis Hillel, who says that you can't have such an egg, Beis Hillel was only talking about a Beitzah Shenolda, but Beis Hillel would not have applied the same Chumrah when it comes to Beitzim Gemuros Shenimtzu B'Moyimon. And now the Gemara challenges further. And how do you know that that's so? V'chitema, maybe you'll tell me Beis Hillel afilu b'mayimah nami asu. Beis Hillel who say that you cannot eat a Beitz HaShenolda b'Yom Tov, it's not only a Beitz HaShenolda, it's not only an egg which is laid. Even Beitzim, Shenimtzu that were found b'mayimah are also asur. V'ho de katani nolda, the reason why it says in the Mishnah, nolda specifically, highlighting the example where the egg is laid, is lodicha kochon de Beishamai, to show you, to stress how makil, how lenient Beishamai are. Because Beishamai say not only an egg which was found inside of the mother, but even an egg which was laid on Yom Tov, which was, as we explained, there are many shilas, there's a shilah of muksa, there are other possible reasons why we prohibit such an egg. But even there, Beis Shammai permits it. Maybe that's the reason why the Mishnah identifies and highlights this particular example of Beitza Shenolda. But really, the truth of the matter is, Beis Hillel, who forbid the consumption of such an egg, do not limit this prohibition to a case where Beitza was laid naturally, but even if it was found inside, it would also be prohibited. Dafilu nolda namishari, to show that this is part, I'm sorry, Vahaydiktani nolda says in Gmaladicha Kochle Beis Shammai, the reason why the Mishnah says specifically nolda is to show the position of Beis Shammai, dafilu nolda namishari. But the Gemara in the end rejects this anyway and says this to him. Why? Because Elohad Tanya, this brisa which says Hashochet is Tanagolus and Matzah Bavitzim Gemuros, we see there is a brisa that has such a shita that if a person goes ahead and shecht the hen on Yomtif and finds Bavitzim Gemuros inside, Mutaris Lachem BeYomtif, you could eat it on Yomtif. So money, who now is going to be the author of this Mishnah, of this brisa? Lo Beishamay Velo Beishilo. This will not conform with the shita of either Beishamay or Beishilo, because as we're saying now, according to Beishamay, not only can you have Beitz and Gemuros, Beis Shammai hold even bigger Chiddushi. You can even have a Beitz or Shenolda. And we're suggesting now that according to Beis Hillel, Beitz and Gemuros are going to be Aser. You're prohibited to consume them on Yom Tov. So it can't be that this Brisa, the way we want to suggest it now, reflects neither the position of Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. So it must be that the Gemara's attempt to read this Brisa as being a Kula, which is not consistent with our Mishnah, is not so. Elamai. It is consistent with the Mishnah. The Beis Hillel, in fact, say that even though a Beitz Shenolda is going to be Aser on Yom Tif, that an egg which is laid on Yom Tif, Beitz and Gemuros that are found B'moy Iman, are permissible. That you can go ahead and you can eat eggs which are found inside of the mother if they are, again, if they are Beitz and Gemuros. So now we return once again back to the original question. What does it mean when Rav says that a Beitz imitz Yasa Digbara? Rav taught, how I started this whole discussion, is Rav's statement that a beitza imitziyasa, that as it exits from the mother, at that point nigmura becomes completed. That's the moment of completion of this egg. And we've been asking, lamai hilchasa, what is the halacha, what is the practical implication of what Rav is trying to teach us? We've offered several suggestions, but we've rejected them all. So now we're stuck once again with this question. What is the halachic significance? What is the practical ramification of Rav's statement that Beitza imitziyasa nigmar? So he answers the Gemara, Ela imitziyasa nigmarum gadela sefrochim. What Rav meant to say is that when the egg exits from the hen, at that moment it becomes fully formed, umigadela sefrochim, and it is now able, it is now developmentally able to go ahead and to produce chicks. However, that in a situation where you would shecht the mother hen and you would take out beitzim gemuros, those beitzim are never going to hatch. They're not going to hatch in such a state. They will only hatch if they have been laid naturally. So again, says Gemara l'mayin afkamina, but what's the practical difference? Is there any legal halachic implication of this statement? Are you just teaching me something interesting about the development of chicks? Says the Gemara, yeah, there is an afkamina. L'mekach u'memkar. What does it mean? Concerning an issue of sales. So Rashi, the last Rashi on the page explains. Magadela sefrochem, le'inyin din mekach memkar itmar. We're talking over here about a question of commerce, about sales. The imnolda, we're saying right now that if the chick, if the egg rather, was laid naturally, nigmar bishula, it is now considered to be developmentally complete. V'ru'uya legadam imen efrochem. And at this point, if the egg was fertilized, it can actually go ahead and produce chicks. But however, if they are still found inside of the innards of the mother and they are removed, they can never go ahead and produce chicks. And so now if a person goes ahead and he requests, he wants to buy beitzim. What types of beitzim? Beitzim legadel afrochim. He says specifically that I want to buy eggs which can be used to hatch chicks. I want to use eggs that potentially are fertilized and can actually produce chicks. So in Machar Elu, so if the guy who's selling the eggs goes ahead and he takes from his batch of Beitzim Gemuros, Sheninsu B'Moyimon, he takes them not from the pile of eggs that were laid naturally, but rather he takes them out of the pile of eggs that were found inside of the mother. So Havi Mekach Toos, at that point it's considered to be an invalid sale. Batal Mekach, the sale is not recognized in Halacha, because a person asked for one thing, and he was sold something else. If a person says, I don't care what types of eggs, any types of eggs are fine, so you can give them any type of egg. If they're Beitzim Gemuros, they're also eggs. However, Rav teaches, it's only Beitza in Yitziyasa Nigmura. It's only going to be completed to the extent that it can actually go ahead and produce other chicks, if in fact it was laid naturally. And so therefore, the nafkamina that the Gemara is saying is, when it comes to the sale of such an egg, one has to be very careful in identifying it properly, because if he goes ahead and he sells the wrong types of eggs, it could be a mekach tos, it could be a mistaken sale, in which case we would say that mekach is butter.